Welcome to I'm Obsessed With This, the Netflix podcast about the shows and films everyone seems to be talking about and why. As usual, we will be having a spoiler-filled discussion of all titles today. All titles equals Money Heist, La Casa de Papel, as well as a few old heist movies. I won't spoil it, but we're going to spoil them with you. So if you don't want to be spoiled about heist movies generally, or in particular La Casa de Papel, finish the season and then come back to this.
And then watch a bunch of heist movies.
I am your host, Bobby Finger, and today I'm joined in the studio by Lindsay Weber, writer, editor, and co-host of my other podcast, Two Weekly.
Hi.
And also, we're patched in with Gene Bentley, entertainment reporter who covers television for The Hollywood Reporter, Rotten Tomatoes, and more. Hello from New York, Gene.
Hello from LA.
You just covered the Emmy nominations. Exciting.
I did. They were exciting. They're nice.
They were exciting.
And they were at 2 a.m.
I've been up for 7 hours.
There were some good ones. I think, though, HBO came out on top this year.
HBO came out on top, uh-huh. Not Netflix,
yeah.
the producers of this
That's
particular
what I was implying.
Podcast. I see some Ozark in there. I see some
Russian Doll.
Oh, yeah. Russian Doll.
Yes.
I see a little When They See
Beyonce's Homecoming got like a gajillion in the Variety section.
Mm-hmm. It did? That's great.
That's great.
Ooh, Pose, which you can watch now on Netflix. What fun. Lindsay's drinking coffee. I'm drinking coffee. Gina, are you drinking anything or are you just like going dry right now?
Listen, I have some water. You know, I'm hydrated.
It's early there.
Yeah, it is. Well, you'd think maybe coffee.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Well, the time difference really does just completely mess me up. You two know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You met internationally.
Yeah, we met on a press trip, which is some true insider media bullshit.
And you haven't seen each other since?
Since we were in the country of Botswana.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
It was a great, great press trip.
Working on, what was National Geographic?
National Geographic's two different shows. One was a documentary and one was like a wildlife documentary.
That's fun.
Both good.
And to pivot back to Netflix, because this is not a National Geographic podcast. Did you watch Our Planet?
I didn't bring it up, but of course I did.
Sure did.
Of course I did. And it felt even more real to me because I'd just seen all that stuff in real life. It was quite moving.
Did it feel more real watching it on our friend's HDR television than it did in person?
It did feel more real watching it on that huge TV than in person. No, it was. I think, Gene, I don't know if you remember, but towards the end of our trip, I was genuinely scared when we went out. I don't know if you experienced me, like my excitement turning into fear. I just,
like in the wildlife?
It got more real to me as because every morning and night we would go on these little trips out to see animals. And at first I was like, animals, I've seen them. I know what these animals look like. These are easy animals. And then at the end I was like, I'm genuinely terrified they could kill us right now.
I mean, I do remember that you got an incredible video of like a warthog or something.
Yeah, well, I got charged up by a warthog.
Yeah. Just a casual Botswana adventure.
You have a video that's very much like my new favorite Twitter account, which is Perfectly Cut Screams.
Oh, I haven't seen
Have you seen this Twitter account, Gene?
No, I have to check it out.
It's just like videos where things, like sort of innocuous things are happening, frequently with animals, and then the animal charges at the person. You hear like a scream, but then it cuts before anything.
Yeah.
It's not always animals.
It was just like, you know, the more you see these animals, the more weird things that they do that you'd never seen before. So you're like, I'm genuinely like scared now that it's so real to me.
I'm really scared of hippos after that trip.
Yes,
I had no opinion on hippos before, but I realized they are the actual most terrifying.
Yeah, because every time you saw them, it'd be like, oh, these are the murderers. Like, this is how everyone dies, is these hippos.
More people die by a hippo than, like, other animals.
And
there's
we would
a
come
statistic
close
that's
to them.
Real that you can look up, but, like, hippos are dangerous.
Hippos are
Don't
the secret, like,
dangerous.
Terrors.
And they honk.
Yes.
During the day, they snore. They, like, sound like cows. But then at night they laugh, so they sound like they're laughing. They sound like ha 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 all night.
Isn't the thing about coyotes that they sound like crying children, like babies? Where like in LA, you hear coyotes, and it's really creepy.
So do feral cats.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're not here to talk about animals anymore. But before we get into La Casa de Papel, I want to talk about other things that you've been watching on Netflix, TV series, films, whatever that you've been really loving lately. You know, the more obscure, the better. The more underground, although, is anything actually obscure on Netflix? I think that's more of an existential question. Gene, what have you been watching that you've been loving?
Okay, so I watch a lot of comedy on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
I really like to put on a stand-up special while I'm getting ready for bed. So the most recent one I watched is Katherine Ryan's special, which just came out, I think, a week ago. Yeah, and I actually didn't know really who she was until I watched The Fix, another Netflix show, which is like Netflix's version of a British panel show. And so I watched these episodes when it came out last year, and I was like, who is this lady? She's very funny. Pretty famous in England, I think. Mm-hmm.
She's Canadian, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she lives in the UK with her daughter. And I thought her special was very funny. She had a really extended bit about Celine Dion and how Celine Dion is the best and everyone loves her. And, you know, that's true.
It is every Canadian's number one topic of conversation, Celine Dion. True.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
That's all they have, right?
Like, yes.
Americans only talk about, you know, Chris Pratt and Catherine Schwarzenegger.
Yes, that's all we talk
that's
about.
That's all we talk
that's
about.
That's all we
all
talk
the
about.
Time.
That is all
just
we talk
Chris,
about.
I was trying to think of what's the opposite of Donald Trump? What's the opposite of Donald Trump? Chris Pratt and Catherine Schwarzenegger.
We only talk about Donald Trump. That's true. Oh,
what about you, Lindsay? What have you watched?
Well, I was just like, I forget. But like, I'm looking at what I have been watching recently in my continue watching for
Lindsay. Oh, I love the continue watching.
Because I tend to start and stop things. But you know what actually I did watch that I was like perfectly charmed by and felt like moved, but also like TV is so urgent and it feels like you're in a rush to finish it and you're rushed to start something else. I was watching Tales of the City and I was like, this is such like a pleasant like romp of television. Like I could watch two episodes and never watch it again. I could watch the whole thing. I could come back in a year and watch more. Mm-hmm. Like I just felt so calmed by it.
They just put the OGs on it too, so you can watch the like original 1993
really?
Ones too.
Oh, I just really? And I started reading the books too. I was like, I really want to know, like, because our friend Andrew Spina was like, oh, you got to read the books.
I read
they're
the first.
Like,
I've read the first.
Fun.
They're good. Yeah.
So it's just kind of like this is a show that doesn't feel like it is in step with what type of TV's out now in a very refreshing way.
It's very sweet. I hear
very sweet. Yes. Just not urgent. Like, I love that.
I haven't watched it. I noticed that the original, the 1983 one, is up on Netflix, and it's really funny because I don't know if you've looked at all of them. There's so many of them. They got the gang back together like five times. There's Tales of the City. There's more Tales of the City. There's like, guess what? We got more Tales of the City. Like, here come more Tales of the City. Tales of the City Reloaded. And then, so there's so many of them, but I think just that first one is up now. Like, Baby Laura Linney, Baby Olympia Dukakis. Baby who? It's all Baby Parker Posey's.
I want to give you another one that's like not as like, you know, like something.
Jean, have you been watching
more.
Tales of the City?
I have watched a couple of episodes. I haven't gotten super far into it. Mm-hmm. I hear that episode 8 is
I gotta get there.
No, no, that's what I'm looking forward to it.
The other thing that I was watching that was also quite pleasant on Netflix was the movie, Becoming Jane. Have you seen that
Oh,
recently?
I love Becoming
Such
Jane.
Such a good movie.
Want to know something embarrassing?
What?
I worked for my college newspaper for like a year. It was fine. But I did a lot of things, but I wrote reviews for one summer because they needed someone to fill in for
Amazing.
One summer.
Amazing, good skill.
And I reviewed maybe five movies.
Yeah,
two
total.
Of them that I remember.
Yeah.
Becoming Jane.
Yeah.
And I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Oh, incredible.
Wow.
What a great summer for film.
Pinnacle of cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went and saw like press screenings, like the Austin version of press screenings. Yeah. So it was just like a packed AMC. Because the way they do it in most cities, because we don't have, you know, the luxury of a New York or LA screening room, right?
Yeah.
They just have sneak previews where they let people in to see Becoming Jane like 2 days before it comes out.
Yeah.
And then there's like one row of press people.
That's so fun, though.
Yeah,
like,
it was
fun. I think Becoming Jane is one of those movies that I've watched on every streaming service. Yeah. Like,
guess which one I liked of the
it's
two?
It's followed me around.
Becoming Jane or now pronounced you Chuck and Larry.
Wow. Oh, Becoming Jane.
Becoming Jane.
Although, honestly,
I gave it a rave, Jean. I gave it a rave.
It's a great movie, and I just want to say it's on Netflix.
Her accent. Good.
Yeah. She's incredible.
Her accent.
No,
good.
She's incredible. It's a great movie. Listen
Let's
to our
move
other
on.
Podcast.
We're going to talk about what is the biggest non-English language television show on Netflix.
This is crazy to
Huge.
Me.
And no one in America knows about it.
Oh,
Jean,
my God.
You're obsessed with it. How? It's called The Casa de Papel. In English, it has the slightly less effective title, Money Heist.
Yeah, Jean, how did you start
watching
this?
How did you discover
this?
Okay, I used to write for this TV app where people can track what they're watching on television. Mm-hmm. And the company was started in Europe. So they have a lot of people from Europe who use the app. And it was consistently like the top show that people were following, that people were watching. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to check it out. And then I checked it out and it was incredible. And you, as you said, you can do nothing else but watch it because unfortunately, despite the fact that I have watched so much Money Heist, I still do not speak Spanish. And
same. Yeah. I thought it would
you know?
I thought it would change. I thought I would all of a sudden know. And it's like honestly, it's not working.
No. It's not working. So I watched it all and then was like, guys, Everyone watch this. Everyone watch this. And no one did. And now I finally get to talk to you guys about it. And I'm just thrilled.
It's one of those shows that, you know, they do have English dubs. And you can also, so you can watch it English dubbed. You can also watch it in Spanish. I also watched it like in Spanish with subtitles. And the problem with that, if you don't speak the language that you're watching, this also is an issue with Terrace House that I have, is that you're either fully engrossed in the show or you miss everything. So, you know, usually sometimes you can watch TV and you're kind of like half-half.
Just Jean, you watched it with subtitles.
Yes, I watched it with subtitles. And then I would like occasionally pick up my phone and start doing something and realize that I like didn't understand what was going on. And then I would, and then I would rewind it 2 minutes and then.
I do a lot of rewinding in the show because I look away and then I'm like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
And you watched it with subtitles as well.
I watched with subtitles.
Okay.
Sometimes my brain would like shut off and I'd want to go to the dub, but then I'd be like, no, like you're going to miss a lot of what's happening. The other thing that I find so funny about La Casa de Papel, which I'm not the first to say this, is the fact that it's called Money Heist is hilarious to me. Like, how is it translated to that? Like, it is the most straightforward, like, it could be called like Money Heist, description money. There's a money heist. Like, it's called Money Heist.
Like, I mean, what's a better English language? The actual literal translation is the House of Paper, but I guess paper is sort of a colloquialism for money. So it's sort of like get that paper in the United States would refer to get that money. But it's like, it's really hard to think of something.
You're right, something
because
better.
Because the Spanish title is so straightforward. So like, what's a less sort of embarrassing straightforward title we could give it to English speaking audiences? Like Heist Show. Honestly, Heist Show.
Heist Show. Yeah. Well,
Here comes the heist.
I guess what they thought, which is smart, is, you know, the best way to get English speakers to come to this show is to say, you know, this is a heist show. If you like Ocean's 11, if you like Logan Lucky, if you like all these movies, this is the show for you. It is like about a heist.
And this leads me to the question I'm going to ask number one super fan, the number one American English speaking, non-Spanish speaking super fan, Jean.
Yes.
What are parts one and two of Money Heist about? And then we will get into season three. Because I think that this episode is speaking to people who haven't seen it as a whole, and then we can get to season three.
Yeah.
But what are the first two parts about?
I've described it to people as like Ocean's 11, but with like sexy Spanish people.
Yes, yes.
Basically,
it's
so
much sexier than Ocean's
11. Like telenovela meets Ocean's 11.
Yeah, they're very hot.
No one's fucking in Ocean's 11. It's really disappointing.
I know.
But these people, they sure are. So it's like this mysterious guy who calls himself the professor gathers like a group of criminals together, and they're all strangers and they all have different skills. And then they spend like months training for this heist, but it launches with the heist, which is they go into the Royal Mint of Spain and they're robbing the Royal Mint of Spain. And it's kind of like goes back and forth in time back to like their training and then the present day and the heist. And
it's a lot of time skipping in this show.
Lots.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's stuff going on in the inside of the bank and there's stuff going on the outside of the bank because the professor is kind of there, you know, the guy on the outside. And you have a lot of like, they're doing stuff and then you kind of figure out what they're doing and why they're doing it, which is fun always in a heist. You got to like leave a little mystery. Yeah. Can't explain it before they do it.
I mean, the characters are all very good. They're like simple little archetypes. They're fun. They're exactly what you need from the heist.
Exactly.
Like, you have the sexy person. You have the gay person. You have the other gay person. You have like all these things. But the thing that I appreciate about the show, which is kind of obvious, is that they're sort of Robin Hoods in a way. Like they understand that they have to be beloved by the Spanish people in order for this to be successful. So they become sort of folk heroes by the end of the series, which is great.
They're not
hardened criminals. Yes, there's a lot of violence on the show and like murder happens, but ultimately these are people you can feel comfortable rooting for, you know?
Well, they reveal their backstories and everybody of course has some sort of like a humanistic trait that makes you kind of attracted to them, whether it's a rough father-son relationship or a kid somewhere or, you know, they fall in love or, you know, it's very weird. Like there really is only one character who I feel like is truly like a bad person because of what he does to the
Berlin.
Because of what he does to the like the
hostage.
The hostage. Yes. Like he kind of manipulates a female hostage.
He's a sociopath.
But I think that's kind of what you're supposed to. They want you. There has to be one like truly bad guy. But for the most part, what's nice about robbing is that in a way it's kind of like Robin Hood, where you can always twist people who are robbing into good people because, you know, fuck the system. Mm-hmm. Capitalist, down with capitalism.
Yes.
We love our robbers. You know,
they're giving
great.
Us some of the money, too.
It's a heist movie, but it's also like anti-capitalism, but also like, this is what we have to deal with, so you got to work within the capitalist system, and so we're going to, you know, damn the man and rob the man.
And that's part of their plan, which I love, because he's like, you know, we can get a lot done here by winning the people. You know, we can really mess with the police if the people are anti-police, which is like a big sentiment, you know? And I think there's a lot of nuance here that we are, as American watchers, are missing, too. Like, I very much am aware of that as I watch it. I'm like, there's a lot of things here that, like, Spanish people who live in Spain know what's going on that we maybe don't have a full idea of, because they're really reaching. There's a little bit of like history that I feel like I'm missing here. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that this is one of those shows that's particularly of the moment, because so much of it is about like the socioeconomic reality of present day Europe.
Yes.
And like why all these people are doing this plot to begin with, and also why the public is so supportive of them as they do it.
It's got a V for Vendetta vibe too, which I feel is it's something that I should know about Spain that I'm ignorant and don't know, you know, that I'm learning.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of V for Vendetta in terms of like the masks and all that.
They all wear like red jumpsuits and Salvador Dali masks. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely frightening to look at.
Yeah.
And they involve the hostages in a way that is done in Inside Man, which we'll get to later. But it's like, you know, like they have the hostages in the same outfit so that they can be decoys, which becomes a problem.
If you're a big heist fan, you'll see patterns, I feel like, for other, you know, they try and do new things, but there's a lot of things that repeat in terms of like strategies that like a lot of these heist movies know that audiences love to see. Mm-hmm. You know, Stockholm Syndrome stuff. You got a lot of stuff.
There's like a couple instances of Stockholm Syndrome, but I'm like, I get it.
I love Stockholm Syndrome.
I get it.
Love it.
So
just kidding, I don't love it. That's problematic.
No, we hate we cannot support Stockholm Syndrome.
Problematic. No, we don't, but also they carry on. They've a little tongue in cheek reference to it.
I know. So. Well, I didn't even tell you how I started watching
this. How did
you
find it?
I just want to do full disclosure. A friend of ours, you know, works at Netflix and was like, "Lindsay, I'd love for you to watch this show and do something for me, but I think you guys would appreciate what it was." You know how Denver has that like iconic laugh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So my assignment was to watch the entirety of the two seasons and every time he laughed to write down the timestamp. I was watching looking for his laugh. That's why I watched it for the first time. I was like, oh, this is like really good. It's so funny that I'm watching it for this very specific thing. And looking for other kind of things would be catchy, but his laugh was a good one.
I love
one.
Denver. Denver's a great kind of anti-hero. He's a great hero.
Well, he starts off kind of dumb and he starts off kind of childish and then he becomes a man.
And by season three, he's like, oh,
he's a man.
Denver.
He's a daddy. Yeah,
and when Denver is like turning away Nairobi in the elevator and he's like being a good guy, you're like, Denver, you've grown.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yes.
I love Denver.
So good.
Who is your favorite character, Gene? Have they evolved since parts one and two?
Yeah.
You know what? That's a really good question. I really love Rio, sweet curly-haired Rio. I also have to say that several of the cast members of Money Heist are also on Elite,
right?
Which is
sexy
Spanish gossip girl show, which is also incredible. Everyone should watch it. Again, very upsetting to me that I have not absorbed even a little bit of Spanish.
I know. Gene, what are you? You're putting in a lot of time here.
It's rude.
Elite and La Casa de Papel are like the two biggest Spanish speaking shows Netflix makes.
I can't confirm Elite, but Money Heist is number one by a considerable
margin. Elite is
I assume that Elite is also huge. I just don't have those numbers.
Got it.
Yes. You know, they keep those numbers in the Spanish mint.
I know. But if they're reusing the same kind of heartthrobby Spanish actors, it was probably as big of a splash as La Casa.
So he's on that show as well.
Rio is,
and Denver is.
Yeah.
And then the one hostage from season one, she's in season two a little bit, but she's the British ambassador's daughter.
Oh,
she is also in Elite.
I loved her, by the way. She did not get enough time in the first one. Like, she didn't get enough. She, to me, was very important, Allison Parker, but did not get enough kind of, like, follow through with her plot, my opinion. You know,
That's Maria Pedraza.
I thought she was really good.
She's only 23.
Yeah, they're all so young. And the guy who plays Rio is pretty young, too, but I just, like, I found that character very endearing, and you can kind of see him become enamored with just like what he's doing, and also just being respected by all of these people who I think maybe would have like intimidated him in the past. And then he kind of also falls into this romance with the, I guess she's the main character, who, Tokyo.
She's the one who's,
she narrates it. So she, so he has this romance with her, and I just found them very sweet. And also, he plays a key role in season three, but he's not in it as much, which is my main complaint about season three, to be honest with you.
And he's the one in the first two seasons, again, spoilers, that kind of like, you know, one of them has to turn to the dark side a little bit to like help the cops or get a little scared, get freaked out. And that's him. And it's interesting that that becomes him. Then he kind of turns back, and then he kind of becomes the person why season three happens. Why they
he is the reason season three occurs.
They all love him so much.
But going back to that, I wanted to say, just for listeners who haven't watched the show and are and maybe need a little guidance, specifically English speaking listeners, I watched parts one and two. I mean, you can think of parts one and two as one season that's split in two.
They are one
because
season.
It's one heist.
Yeah.
And I think internationally, whenever before it was on Netflix, it was just one season. They split it up in two. They kind of re-edited it.
Yeah.
So parts one and two, I watched dubbed. And I was like, this is fine. I like the intricacies of watching a heist movie. I love heist movies. I love watching them unveil. Like, I don't care how long it is, as long as that, like, final act is really satisfying. Yeah. You know, like, when everything's like, and here's how we did it. And you play, like, cool music and you see all the little
that
twists
kind of
and
happens,
turns.
Like, every
it
episode.
It happens every episode. And I think that's why I love the show so much.
Yeah.
But season three, I watched with subtitles.
Yeah.
And I, because it was the only thing available at the time.
Yeah.
And I liked it so much more.
Yeah.
And I think, and I think it's going to be worth, and we have said multiple times that if you take your eyes off the screen and you do not speak Spanish, you will miss things and you will have to rewind. It's worth it.
But there
it's
is,
worth it because it's not, you lose some of the tone and you lose some of the nuances of the performances.
You lose dialogue because a lot of the translation is not quite there and you kind of miss a lot of the kind of like nuance of their performance, which is like, and you miss, you know, like the laughter dubbed is not as fun
not
as his original laughter. Like it just, that's the truth, you know?
It's true. It is a very iconic laugh. It's like a little Seth Rogen-y.
Yeah. What is it? Like, you have to play it here. There's a video. Yeah.
I'll
there's
pop
a,
it in.
There's a recap of it.
Gene, what would your city name be if you were a heister?
Wow, great.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question.
Every character in Money Heist goes by one name, and that one name is the name of a city. And so, like, lead character is Tokyo, there's a Rio, there's Nairobi,
Helsinki,
who I love. Helsinki, I love
Oslo,
Helsinki.
There's
Helsinki. Helsinki's my favorite character.
Helsinki's a breakout.
Three, I think. Yeah.
Cuddly
Helsinki's
little teddy bear.
He's a breakout tech third season.
Yeah.
Well, first and second season, it's almost like there are too many characters and a lot of them get lost, especially like the muscle. Then third season, they're allowed to kind of like dig into their past. Like you get a lot of the backstory for people you didn't really know that well. Like Nairobi gets a story. Yeah. Helsinki gets a story. They introduce like a new true psycho, which I loved because like Berlin, you know, RIP. And then, you know, they bring on that other guy. What's that other guy's name?
Paloma,
yes.
Sure.
Paloma.
Okay. Yeah.
He's the professor's brother's ex.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I love
him. Yeah.
Maybe and he loves Boom Boom Chow.
Yeah. Boom Boom Chow.
Boom Boom Chow.
But he's a nice addition because they're all like family. They're all close. And he becomes the adversary kind of internally for them because they need to, you need to have somebody who's kind of like almost going to fly off the handle, who's
fly
not
rails,
trustworthy,
yeah, yeah.
you know, for them. And that's why I think season three, although I did tell this to Bobby Jean. I was like, I texted him. I was like, I do not want know why they're doing another heist. Like, it does not make sense to me hilarious. Why they're heisting again. It's they're just so like, we must silly. Heist. Like, we got to.
It's the title, Lindsay. Jean, you can't get away from it.
As a season one and two obsessive. Yes. When you heard there was going to be a season three, what went through your mind? Because at the end of seasons one and two, exciting. Spoilers, I mean, this is all spoilers, they get away with it.
Yeah.
And they go off to
they're
an
happy.
Island and they're happy and they're rich as hell. Yeah. And everything seems great. When you hear that season three is happening, what are you thinking? Besides,
you know
I'm
what?
So excited.
I was very excited, but I really was like, I wonder if they're going to go like rob somewhere else in like a different country mm-hmm. or something.
Take
like,
the show on the road.
Yeah, exactly. But spoiler alert, they go back to Spain.
They go back.
Well, it's just.
Which is not bad. I no, mean, like, no, no. Hello, it's
just
beautiful.
So funny where it's like, you know, hey, this is what I want for Big Little Lies, too. I want them to do what
say,
they are
like,
good at. If this show is about heisting, I want another heist. I just
yes.
love that it's like the reason to heist just it didn't make sense to me. But mm-hmm. do what you know best, which is like get back in there, you know?
Yes.
So in season three, Rio fucks up. Rio gets satellite phones from a bad source.
Well, just
and
like,
guess what everyone finds
The reason
them.
Is wild. It's like these two are living on an island together.
They're
so in love.
They're fucking all the time. She's sort of
yeah.
like, I'm over it.
She's like, oh, God.
They've just had
so
2 years
bored.
Of just like vacation.
Yeah.
Yes.
You would get sick of
I
that.
Would get sick. And 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
She's like, I need to go party. Like, can you please let me go party? Because like, I just want to go party. And he's like, oh, like, whatever. Like, I love you. Go party. Take my satellite phone. And then the moment they'd use their satellite phone, everyone in Spain is like,
Spain
we
is
found
like
you.
Waiting for them. I know.
We found you, and then they kidnap Rio, ugh. And they hold him hostage, and then everyone else comes together, and they're like, you know what? We made a pact.
We got a heist.
We got to take care of the gang. The gang
again.
Is number one. Let's get the gang back together. If we're going to get them back, I'm sorry, but the only way to get them back is to do another heist. And so
you know,
like,
I would be like,
and
I'm not
like,
doing it.
But
I'd be like,
else,
no, I'm not doing
but
it.
But I think one of the things that's funny about him is that it's sort of like a drug. It's an addiction to them at this point. So they've all been living these lives of leisure for 2 years, but they miss the thrill of heisting.
That's true. Like,
you know?
I guess that's the underlying cause of all this.
Because
where you're thinking, like, they're all isolated. They really live these, like, kind of, they're rich, but they live these, like, isolated
they're
lives.
Nervous.
Yeah, they're nervous of getting caught. So as soon as the opportunity comes back, they selfishly are like, we must heist.
And also, the true heist was the friends they made along the way.
Yes! The true heist was the friends they made
oh,
along
they made
the
so
way.
Many yeah. friends. I gotta say, though, I'm such a dumbass because watching part three, I was like, by the time there was like the episode 7, I was like, ooba, they're really cutting it close. Like, I hope they finish this heist. And then episode 8 was happening, and I was like, when are they going to finish this heist? And I was like looking at my watch,
yeah,
like, there's only
the
10
heist.
Minutes left. And I was like, oh, God damn it. This is split in two.
Yeah,
I gotta wait
yeah.
for part
again.
Four.
Yeah, two parts.
Oh, my God. But
they,
I do yeah. love the dynamic between the professor and Lisbon.
Well,
she's
that's,
great.
Well,
love
he's
her.
A real interesting character, right? Because mm-hmm. he is really hard to read. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. in Spanish and especially in English, if you watch the dubbed, you're like, what is this character?
Yeah.
And their relationship is sweet, but it's also like it almost feels fleeting, dangerous.
Yeah,
like
that's
anyone
what's great
could
about
flip.
It.
Yeah. Like it's not I don't trust them as a couple.
And they both recognize that in each other
yeah.
too. And I mm-hmm. and I think one of the things that the show does well, which back to Big Little Lies, mm-hmm. maybe in the first season, Big Little Lies does that sort of, well, they have the Greek chorus element in the first season, but the way that they sort of switch back and forth between timelines is pretty seamless. And in the second season, it's not quite as seamless.
This one is very
And this
seamless.
One's very seamless. Mm-hmm. And I loved in, like, it was the 7th or 8th episode where Lisbon is remembering the professor getting up in the middle of the night and then like going to look at the waves, and she's like, wow, he doesn't really love me anymore. But then he's remembering it kind of differently, and he's like, wow, I love her so much. And I
right,
and I like that
he's literally impossible to read. And I think that's mm-hmm. a big issue with their relationship. Like, forget the heist, like it's an interpersonal problem mm-hmm. where like these two people, she's skilled in hostage negotiation mm-hmm. so like that's oh. how she knows, and he is like this out in a cloud yeah. you know.
I think it's really interesting because you learn that the professor is the younger brother of the sociopath guy, Berlin. And so you can tell that throughout his entire life, he was overshadowed by this older brother who was like really manipulative. So the professor is really good at observing things, which is interesting when he gets into this relationship with a hostage negotiator and a cop who also observes a lot of things. So I really like that part of their relationship. Now, the new hostage negotiator.
Oh, I love that they bring in another woman.
Three,
I just love it.
Oh my God. She has iconic bangs.
Yeah, iconic
she wears
bangs.
Like, she has like three cross earrings in each ear and like 16 cross chains over her turtleneck.
Yeah. They had to bring in somebody who was a direct contrast to Lisbon. Like,
oh my God.
Pregnant.
Yes.
And she
pregnant
loves candy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. She
loves
candy.
Candy. She is also seems to be a little bit of a not a sociopath.
Lunatic.
But like,
yeah, 100%.
There's some screws loose for sure.
What was the line when, was it Nairobi, was like, your kid is never going to love you, by the way, or something? I was like, oh my God, that's like the one thing you could say to her, because the little nuance of that character being like, she's having the kid because everyone hates her and she thinks that if she has a kid, it'll be something that finally loves
her. But
it's
two mothers like having this confrontation, like two like.
Well, I think Rio says that to her. Right?
Rio. Okay, it's Rio. Oh. Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah. Nairobi's.
So what is that relationship? The relationship between the new negotiator and Rio? What?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I certainly do not know.
I don't know. How are they going to get out of this? Well, I have a quiz to play, but how are they going to get out of this?
The first half ends super. I mean, what's weird is that bloody, there's a lot of setups to be very, there's a lot of guns in this show. And they really don't lose people that often. Like,
no.
They're still mostly intact.
And they're really good at...
Berlin had a disease anyways. He was going to go. So he died. He sacrificed.
I just love that it's one of the rare kind of action shows or just action titles generally, film or TV show, where when there's an act of violence, everyone around them is really good at surgery. Every time someone gets shot, you're like, oh no, there's a head injury. Like, he's out for sure. And they're like, no, we're going to staple it. We're going to give him all this stuff and he's going to be fine. And they're always fixing people. I love it.
I mean, they learned how to do it. The professor taught them how to do surgery. Remember?
The professor's so smart. But
and,
you
like,
did
ocular surgery.
Yeah.
Like,
that was crazy.
I was like, he's going to be blind. No, he's not.
Yeah, that was
apparently
crazy.
Not. Really good schools in Spain.
Oh, yeah.
Really good schools in Spain.
Absolutely.
Everyone is a genius.
You did not answer the question, Lindsay and Dean. What is your city name? Lindsay, are you just Boston?
Yeah.
Go get Boston over here.
But I don't think none of them got named for cities they were from.
Right. Okay. So what would your ideal city
be? I do like that they all chose cities that were exotic to them. Mm-hmm. Like, even like, you know, how like, what's their kid's name?
Cincinnati.
Like, that cracked me up.
I love Cincinnati.
Like, that's so funny to me.
It's so funny. I think mine would be like Sydney. I was trying to think of like
Sydney,
what they didn't
fun.
Have. They have no like Australian ones. So I'll go with
I
Sydney.
Think I would be like Fresno. Like, it'd be funny. Like Fresno. Like a city name that's like not a real name and it's like random. And what I love about their city names is that for the ones that are American cities, people who are watching this show mainly who live in Europe, mm-hmm. like, think that these cities are like cool cities.
Yeah.
Like Cincinnati, like, don't go there.
Yeah.
Cincinnati is so funny.
There's also something like, just to get back to like the exotic comment, it's like Americans love to make everything seem more exotic and more intense than it actually is. I feel like if an American version of the show, the city names would have been really on the nose.
Yes.
But because it's this like European show, they're like, oh, you're Denver and it means absolutely nothing. Oh, you're Nairobi and it means absolutely nothing. She's Tokyo, it means nothing.
It does mean nothing.
So I feel like a random city that I think would just be fun would be like Minneapolis.
Right.
You know, like literally Minneapolis.
Yeah. But also what a genius, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but again, this show deserves a bigger international audience. But what a genius way for me personally as a non-Spanish speaker to fully keep the characters' names in my brain, which is the hardest part of watching something that is not American, especially Terrace House. I forget all of their names, and it's really hard to think about the show, to make the characters have these city names. Mm-hmm. Like, it really helps me keep track of all of them. Genius.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Here's your quiz.
We're going to play a quick little quiz. We're going to go back and forth. That's about heists. Mm. I just love heists.
I
do you love heists in general?
I love heists. I love heist movies. I wish there were more heist shows, to be honest.
I agree.
We watched Good Girls on NBC.
Yeah. Oh, I love Good Girls.
A lot of great heist books.
It's not a full heist show, but it's like a little heisty.
You know, if they finish everything up in part four and that's all cool, get a new gang together. Let's heist somewhere else. There's heists going on all the time.
Yeah. There's definitely also a show out there that's like a heist every season, like a mini series heist situation.
Yes.
Just new
heists. They should do it. But until then, you will have to deal with the heist movies and shows that already exist. Most of them are movies. These are the subjects of the quiz that I just came up with. So I'm going to ask each of you these questions alternatingly.
Okay.
And then if you don't get it right, then I'm going to give the other person a chance to get it. And if, I don't know, there are no points here. It's just for fun.
But
we'll see who wins.
Just for fun.
Lindsay, I'll start with you because you're right in front of me.
Okay.
How much do the 11 in Ocean's 11 steal in Ocean's 11? Is it? It's all multiple choice. That's fine. $60 million, $120 million, $160 million, or $215 million?
So because I just was doing work about money heists, I know that they want to steal $2.4 billion because they're printing the money inside the mint. That's
it's
another
so cool.
money
yes.
heist thing is that they're actually making money.
And in season three, they're melting down gold into little
cutesy.
And
we don't know what they're going to do with it.
It's wild that they're melting down gold into balls. Anyways,
I love that Nairobi's like, isn't this cool? Look at the gold. Yeah. Isn't it cool?
That they have to dive for underground. It's a whole thing.
I love it.
So in my mind, but in the first half of Money Heist, they don't get $2.4 billion.
No, they get a little less. They get like a billion.
A billion or something. Yeah. So, but Ocean's 11... How much would a casino have?
That's the question. How much is in the basement of
a Bellagio? Like 100 something million?
It's 160 million.
Yeah. Is that B? Did I get it right?
It was C.
Okay.
Okay, Gene.
But I knew it was like 100 something.
Yeah, it was around there.
You have to make it worth your time. There are like 11 people involved.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to get a good share.
Yeah. Okay, Gene. How much do Chris Pine and Ben Foster need to steal from Texas banks?
I love this movie.
In Hell or High Water? Much lower stakes, but, you know, to the average American.
I know, it's
high
for
stakes.
Their mortgage, right?
Yes, it's their mother's mortgage.
Okay.
A, 14,000. B, 21,000. C, 43,000. Or D, 52,000.
Wow. Yeah. I truly do not remember, so I'm going to go with B.
Lindsay, that's wrong. It's not B.
I honestly don't remember, but what low stakes? Is it A?
It's C, 43,000. That's all it needs.
That's an incredible movie.
A lot of people die in that movie for $43,000.
I know. That's what I was going to say. Like, there's more blood in that movie than most.
In most of Money Heist.
Yeah. Great.
Except
movie.
For season three. I'll tell you.
Oh,
season three of Money Heist.
That's true.
Okay, Lindsay. How much are the magicians attempting to steal Now You See Me?
This
your
is my favorite
movie
heist movie. I love this movie.
Oh, magicians. Lindsay's like, magicians in. Heist, even
Wait,
more in.
Season. Now You See Me 2 is incredible, Gene. Have you seen it?
Now You See Me 2.
I think I watched part of it on a plane once.
Gene, you have to watch it.
Yeah, I really need to remedy that.
Everyone on the planet has watched part of Now You See Me 2 on a plane.
Yes.
Okay. And they were like, I'm done with this.
Okay. Okay.
A, 40 million. Fuck. B, 140 million. C, 240 million. Or D, 340 million.
Oh, boy.
They're still... You know what's funny about this movie? It's like they're doing magic. Like, I could not tell you where they're stealing from, like what they're stealing. Like, I don't even remember that part. I just know that
they're stealing
doing
money.
Magic. Let's go with D.
It's B, 140 million. I'm not going to do the alternating thing. So next up is Gene. Gene,
yes.
how much are the widows stealing in Widows?
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
A 5 million. B, 25 million. C, 50 million. D, 85 million.
I'm going to go with D.
It's A, 5 million. It was pretty low.
It's pretty low.
Well, I guess it wasn't the lowest of all.
Well, where are the widows stealing from again?
The widows are stealing from Colin Farrell's vault in his house.
Okay, so you got to say, like, how much could really be in there?
Because remember, Cynthia Erivo needs to carry it on her back.
She carries it on her back. She's practicing running.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Now You See Me, who knows where the fuck they were stealing from?
No one remembers. No one cares. Widows is incredible. If you haven't seen Widows yet, watch it. I've seen it like 3 times.
You're choosing extremely good heist movies.
Yeah, we're done with all of these.
Such good
we're done with the quick
movies.
Monetary values. Okay, so Lindsay, where does the heist in Logan Lucky take place? A NASCAR race? A demolition derby event, a horse race, or a monster truck rally?
It's NASCAR, right?
NASCAR, ding, 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 you got it right.
I knew that one, too.
God, that's an incredible movie.
I need it to be known that I...
You knew that.
And also get
you
one
knew
right.
it? Okay, great.
Yeah.
I believe you. I believe you, Gene.
Incredible
you so
movie.
Much.
These are all incredible heist movies.
Yeah, these are really good movies.
Gene, another incredible heist movie.
Okay.
What does Thomas Crown steal in The Thomas Crown Affair? The category of things... Expensive cars, religious relics, the crown jewels, or famous works of art?
It is famous works of art.
All right, you got it. Ding,
yes,
ding, ding.
Thank God.
I didn't remember that.
You know what else is an incredible movie? The Thomas fucking Crown Affair.
I haven't seen
it's
it.
So,
yeah, it sure is.
Speaking of sexy heist movies, Money Heist and Thomas Crown Affair, sexy.
I didn't know that was a heist movie.
Oh, it's good. Okay.
It's sexy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to watch it. Isn't Kristen Scott Thomas in that? Who's in that movie?
Rene Russo.
Rene Russo.
You're in the same energy.
Okay.
That this one's dumb. I'm going to skip that one. Lindsay, what is the surprise reveal in Tower Heist?
A, I didn't see this movie.
A, the car is made of gold.
No!
B, the tile is made of diamonds.
Who knows?
C, all the furniture is stuffed with cash. Or D, there's a key on the dog that opens a gold-filled safe hidden on one of his private islands.
Let's say the car, the tiles are made of gold.
The car is made of gold. You mixed up one and two.
The car is made of gold.
Here we go.
You didn't watch that movie.
Gene, I did. I did. I remember, because I was like, wasn't there something weird and like wacky about Tower Heist? Yeah, the car is made of gold.
Yeah.
Gene.
Yeah.
What do the robbers steal from the bank in Inside Man? I think Money Heist has so much in common with Inside Man. I think that's like the closest parallel to Money Heist, mm-hmm. just because of the intricacy and like the interplay between the people and the hostages. Okay. Is it A, cash, B, money bonds, C, diamonds, or D, gold?
You know, I have to confess it's been so long since I've seen this movie that is it bonds?
It's diamonds. You know who steals bonds?
Who?
Who?
Forrest Whitaker in Panic Room. That's what they're trying to get out of the thing in Panic Room.
That's where it's in the Panic Room.
Yep, it's all in the Panic Room.
Inside Man is Denzel.
Denzel and Clive and Spike Lee. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. And they're stealing diamonds from where? Mm-hmm.
From a bank.
And who's the inside man?
Clive Owen.
He's inside.
Oh, he's inside. Lindsay, more Inside Man questions.
Oh, fuck. I don't remember.
Who are the real villains in Inside Man?
Oh, no.
A, the cops. B, the CIA.
It's always the cops.
C, Nazis. Or D, Russians.
Wait, Nazis?
No. It's Nazis.
Is it Nazis?
It's Nazis.
Why are they? Wow.
Because Christopher Plummer is revealed to be a Nazi sympathizer.
He's always a Nazi.
One of the main things that they steal is proof that he funded his bank from Nazi money.
Yeah, that's always a thing.
And Jodie Foster is incredible in that movie, by the way. Okay, back to Gene.
Okay.
What does Ansel Elgort suffer from in Baby Driver, a great heist movie?
I know the answer to this.
Is it IBS, Tourette's, tinnitus, or narcolepsy?
That would be tinnitus.
All right, you got it right. Wow, two in a row we got right.
Baby Driver's so fucking good. Good. Such a good movie.
A few more, then we'll be done.
People were so mean about that movie. It was so much better than people said.
It's great. Lindsay, during what war does Three Kings take place?
Fuck, I have no
The Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Revolutionary War, or the Persian Gulf War?
The last one.
Gene, what vehicle is used to transport money internationally in Jackie Brown? A plane, a train, a boat, or a blimp?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
She's a flight attendant, it's a plane.
Oh yeah, she is.
Okay.
Three more, they're
great
really
movie.
Short. They're all centered around the film Entrapment.
Fuck.
Lindsay,
fuck.
During what major event does Entrapment take place?
I don't remember.
Dia de los Muertos.
No.
The Millennium New Year, the World Cup, or Carnival?
Carnival.
I know this one. It's the Millennium New Year. I did recently watch this movie.
Entrapment.
Gene, confirm or deny Entrapment is incredible.
It's so good. I watched it again on a plane very recently.
Entrapment is laser. She's under the
laser. She's
lasers.
Under the laser.
She's under the laser.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, Lindsay.
My memory.
Wait, no,
Gene. It's Gene's turn.
Oh, yeah.
In Entrapment, who is playing who? Is Sean playing Catherine or is Catherine playing Sean?
Well, the tables turn and she is playing him. But then you find out that he knew that, right?
So they're both playing each other. You got it right.
Yeah.
It was a trick question. They're both playing each other.
Is that what? That's Entrapment.
Can't fool me.
Yes.
And that's
Lindsay,
Entrapment.
Last question.
Uh-oh.
Do they get together at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it
right. Okay, good. Of course they fuck. Are you kidding?
Oh, my God. Duh. Wow. What a great heist conversation. But we don't know if they get together. I really want the professor and I want when that reveal that fucking Lisbon is still alive actually made, it was like a gasp
moment
for me. It
was incredible. You need to make a little playlist of heist movies that go along with this episode to share with the people.
I will.
Because I feel like this is
a lot of them are on Netflix.
A good 101 of heisting.
Ultimately, I think that's the number one draw of Money Heist. If you like heists, it is every single thing you love about heist, but just stretched out. And each episode is its own little mini heist.
Yes, especially season 3, because it was made for Netflix.
Exactly.
Right?
So like, what if you broke Ocean's 11 down into each of those individual things? Like, Don Cheadle needs to get the thing. That's an episode. Casey Affleck and, what's his name? Scott Conn have to go get the thing. That's an episode.
It's also just, you know, it makes it so it's more realistically complicated when they get into situations where, like, how are you going to get out of this one? It's not just an easy fix. Usually it can be just an easy fix, but this one is more, he's got to go, there's a car with some DNA evidence on. He's got to go pretend to be homeless so he can get rid of the car. And there's just a lot of, like, like little pieces that that they can put in here because it is drawn out. Yes. You know.
So, thank you, Sydney, and I don't remember who you are.
I am Fresno.
Thank you,
bitch.
Sydney and Fresno, for joining me, Minneapolis, to talk about an amazing show, Money Heist, and why just three Americans trying to tell Americans to watch it, because it's incredible. Like, join the rest of the world. Everyone else in the world knows.
If you speak Spanish, we didn't even say, like, if you speak Spanish, this is such a delight. Like, it's a no-brainer for you.
Yes.
Just join the Money Heist train. It's the best. Thank you for joining us, Jean. I'm sorry it's so early there.
No, it's really, it's fine. I'm thrilled. I am just so excited that not only did I get to talk to you guys about this, that hopefully, you know, once season three comes out, more people will watch it, and then I can talk about it with them too.
Believe the hype. It's great. So thank you for listening to I'm Obsessed With This. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Thanks for listening. Money Heist is streaming now.
Ha 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 ha